All right, so we're going to do a review, and we're going to, since we haven't met for quite a few months now, and we ended in May, this is September, I want to look back at the one another's in our previous lesson. So let's take a little review back and do some application time here. We're not just taking in head knowledge. We want our hearts to be teachable. We want to apply these in tangible and creative ways. I hope most of you had a chance to hear our author, Kimberly Cummings, over the summer. She came in August and did a fun little luncheon. That was really great. Her title was How to Adorn Our Father's Love. And that was a great time. Just she talked about living out the one another's. And she reminded us that love must begin with God. We must begin with God and His Word. When we begin anywhere else or anything else, the personal agendas within the church or the pressures of the culture banging on the door, we will be neglectful of the body of Christ and of God's glory. It's a good reminder. She showed us areas we may need to improve upon and reminded us that we may need to have a worship adjustment. I like the way she brought that in there. Sometimes we need to adjust who we're worshiping. And when we don't one another well, why that is important that we do adjust our worship. At the end of her talk, she gave a great analogy for the need for community and how we need one another and illustrated it by two different species of birds. Was that kind of fun if you were there? Did you hear that illustration? That was kind of really different. I like that. She used evidently the hummingbirds and the geese to illustrate her point. And I had never really thought about this before, but she gave a talk talking how geese actually need community, and how she used it to compare how we need one another is what her point was. So the hummingbird and the geese, evidently hummingbirds don't live well in community, but they live very selfishly. They don't want to share their feeders, and they stay isolated from the rest of their other hummingbird friends and neighbors. However, she said geese stay with one another. They encourage one another. They even honk for their leader. I love that. I'd never heard of that before. I always think, why do they do that? That was cute. Yeah. So they evidently are very encouraging to one another. And they fly in formation. When they fly, if some one of them actually strays from formation for any reason, another goose will pair off to go with them to make sure they're not alone. Wow, what a neat analogy. So I now have a new appreciation for geese and for hummingbirds. And I realize the selfish tendency of the hummingbird that comes to my feeder. And I've watched it where, you know, he pushes away the other hummingbirds that come near. So I understand that a little bit better. And most important in her message was not the part about birds, but about the example that we need one another. And the Christian life is not meant in isolation. Well, over the summer, I love to get some extra reading time, and I enjoy getting caught up with some reading books that I have. And one of them was a book that I've had for a while, is The Fruitful Life by Jerry Bridges. And maybe some of you have read that. He's a great author. Well, this book is a study on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, as we would expect from the title. And it seemed to be a great complement to what we're studying here in the Alelon study on the one another's. Bridges says that fruitful character comes from a great devotion, and the greatest devotion of all is the love of God. A life that grows in loving God becomes like God. I'm going to repeat that. A life that grows in loving God becomes like God. Our Christian character confirms that reality in practical ways by our reverence for God, in hearts that want to worship Him, and most of all, the desire to be like Christ. Bridges also says that the power for Christ-like character comes from Christ, but we have a responsibility for developing and displaying that character. Ladies, that devotion to God finds its outward expression by loving one another. We're not just passive, we are active, we are involved. And Paul tells us in Galatians 5, as we walk by the Spirit, we will produce fruit of the Spirit. Love, I'm sure you're familiar with these, joy, patience, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm sure that list is familiar. We cannot live in relationship with others as a Christian without that spiritual fruit. But here's the key, ladies. Only a new heart, a regenerated heart from the Holy Spirit, can produce fruit that will be acceptable to God. If our hearts are not changed by God, we cannot manufacture anything godly, and our greatest efforts would only lead to rotten fruit. Let's look at the word Alelon on the cover of your book, if you have that book. It means one another. And the Strong's Greek Concordance actually lists over 100 entries of the one another's, so it must be important. When we talk about one another commands in scriptures, we're not talking about our relationship with God or one's spiritual responsibilities to oneself. But rather, we see in scripture, it's the personal relationships within the body of Christ, the one another's. This phrase is a reciprocal personal pronoun. It's a word that refers to mutual care. The word reciprocal here is very important, as we have to have somebody else involved. If the one another's are the practical and purposeful display of the gospel, how do we display gospel love when Jesus asks us to bear with one another in love, to be tenderhearted, to forgive one another, to comfort one another, to speak kindly about one another, to pray for one another, or be hospitable to one another? We live in a sinful world, ladies. We live with sinners. And they live with us, remember? That part. This isn't a study about our relationship with God so much as it's a study with our relationship toward believers. But of course, that foundation has to be on our relationship with God. For those of you who missed previous lessons, I encourage you to go back and reread them. Look at the different one another's. Actually, I gave your leaders a recap of the lessons of the one another's that we covered, the ones of love one another, be devoted, and they might share that today in your groups. But it does help you to go back and kind of look through those one another's if you missed any of those lessons. When we are devoted to God, ladies, we take on His character to display the kind of love that shows in His Word. We live in mutual care towards one another because of our foundation, because of His love. And these commandments address our responsibility in the body of Christ. Being filled with Christ's love is the most significant and practical mark of living that distinguishes us from the non-believers because of our Christian beliefs. 1 John 4:7 and 8 says, biblical love originates from God. It's an essential part of His nature. And I'm going to read that. If you want to turn with me, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, you can listen. But 1 John 4:7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Brotherly love is the product of knowing God, so that love flows from us because of our relationship with Him. It grows and it matures, and as we grow in sanctification, it gives proof of our faith. We can't stay stagnant if we've been transformed by the gospel. Think about your testimony, ladies. We all have a testimony if we're in Christ. The Bible is a book of love because God is love. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows His love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So as we review over what we've studied in these previous lessons earlier, several themes seem to be evident in our study of one another's. And I'm going to list these three themes. Number one, love is a command. It's not optional to love one another. It's a command. Number two, love is relational. It's lived in community. It's not lived in isolation. And number three, love is practical. It serves, it cares, it responds. So first, love is commanded if we are following Christ. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us to do. And of course, you're probably familiar with our core verse here. John 13:34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Hopefully you have that one memorized. And that's first, chapter one is when we kind of really camped on what is the difference between the old commandment and the new commandments. And it's the essence of, we now have love as our distinguishing mark. Remember, ladies, that allelon, one another, is a reciprocal word. And we must be active in the body of Christ. We must gather together. We must serve the body. We must stir one another up to love and good deeds as acts of worship. We're going to study some more list in Romans chapter 12 of this great list of how to live with one another in the body of Christ and how to practically worship through that. Kimberly Cummings said, when we choose not to be a part of the local body, we're choosing not to reciprocate the love of God through the commands of God to the people of God. I like that quote. She said that. And I'm going to repeat that. When we choose not to be a part of a local body, of Christ, we are choosing not to reciprocate the love of God through the commands of God to the people of God. Ladies, this is the measure of our life as a believer. The command given in John is not a suggestion or optional. It's not based on our emotions. It's not based on our moods or the time of the month or our circumstances. If we identify as Christians, we are marked by love that others see, and we are marked by the light that others can, as Matthew 5:16 says, so others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. John must have been so profoundly impacted by the words spoken in John 13 that he made it his life message. From 1 John 3:11, he says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Jesus answered one of the scribes who was skilled in the law when he asked, what was the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22:37-40, he says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depends all the law of God and man. Loving God and loving others means we have a motivation to do so willingly and delightfully. 1 John 5:3 says we obey because his commands are not burdensome. It doesn't take the big burden. We think sometimes it's hard to do. His commands are not burdensome. I can remember training my children in obedience when they were very young and being very purposeful to train them to obey their parents, as Ephesians 6:1 says, to come and to obey immediately, completely, and without complaint. And they did it out of duty as we required them. But eventually, they did it out of delight. As they learned obedience to their parents, they later understood how it ultimately was for God. As Colossians 3:20 says, to please the Lord. God's love was the motivation rather than moms and dads. Well, were these commands new that Jesus gave in John 13? The Old Testament clearly taught in Leviticus and Deuteronomy to love God above all else in the Ten Commandments. The Israelites recited the Shema. You remember the Shema in Deuteronomy 6 there. They recited that twice daily. But obviously they failed to honor God above all else and all keep his commands. And I love that both the morning service on Sunday and the evening service, Pastor Steve was bringing up a lot of the whole just similar things that brought to this theme about them not keeping the law. Instead, they created their own means to salvation with their own ceremonies, their own legalistic rituals. They followed other nations into idolatry, and they broke covenant with their God. They couldn't keep his commands. They needed a Savior who could pay the penalty for their sin. As believers in Christ, we have a new relationship with the law of God. We have a new God-given capacity to love because of God's love poured into our hearts, ladies, through the Holy Spirit. And that's the joy. We don't do it on our own power. We have the Holy Spirit. He's the one. God is the one who causes our love to grow. We couldn't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. Loving your neighbor fulfills the law. We don't need signs posted to tell us not to steal or to bear false witness or any of the commandments, because the law is written in our hearts. Our conscience bears witness to it. It will either accuse us or excuse us as to how we respond. The law could never be fulfilled because no one could keep it. Only Christ could perfectly fulfill the law because his love was perfect and righteous. When Jesus gave the disciples the words of the new commandment in John 13 in the upper room, and remember that context there, he's in the upper room, he's giving them his last marching orders, in a sense, of 13 to 17 there, and as the prayer, of course, in John 17 to the Father. But that is such a wonderful, rich section, ladies. Take time to go back and read that over some time. I've just kind of been rereading over John 13 to 17, and just such a heart for what Jesus was trying to impart those last days with those last moments, really, with his disciples. But when he gave those commands, he gave them assurance they would not be left alone after his death. The Holy Spirit would come and teach them, to remind them all that he taught. We need that reminder, don't we? We just because you hear something once doesn't mean we learn it and we listen. We oftentimes, that's why we keep learning over and over. We need that reminders. What a perfect display of the love of the Trinity in that whole context there. Because of the Holy Spirit, we have the power to love in a way we could not do in our own strength. We find it our joy to delight in God's truths because of the miracle of regeneration in us. Psalm 119:47 says, "For I delight in your commandments, which I love." There is no fruit bearing without love, ladies. There is no fruit that we can show without that love. Love is a command. It's not optional. And next, number two, love is relational. It gets lived out in community. Think about this. God's nature is community. We have the Trinity, three parts, all one God. God said in Genesis, it was not good for man to be alone. He designed us to be in relationship with others. The one another's are a result of what flows from our relationship with Christ. Our relational love is the familial bond between other believers. We're family. We need to be connected in community. We can't be living in isolation. What does that look like? It means we make efforts to know one another so we can serve one another. Our society is content living very individualistically right now. We used to talk to bank tellers. We used to go to the gas station and attendants would come and fill our gas and wipe the windows and all those things. I mean, I'm dating myself, right? Or store clerks. I mean, even just speaking to store clerks, trying to go get help in a store for, you know, somebody help me find where the certain section is or how to find something. We don't do that anymore. We live very isolated, and we can even shop online. We can order food online, even to be delivered at our door with no contact, to where you just pay on your credit card. We pay bills online. We check out the grocery store and self-checkout. We don't need to talk to anyone, really. I mean, it's getting to be where we can live very individualistically. But as believers, we are relational. We need fellowship in person, not just texting or Facebook or Instagram. We need to gather. We need to love the body of Christ in person. We cannot worship in isolation. We need to be involved. I know if there's times when you miss, and it's a joy to be able to do live stream, but we can't be dependent on live stream. Live stream does not replace being there in person. Jesus set the example of a self-sacrificing love that cared and served others. That principle of love is what linked each one of those disciples towards each other as well to Christ. And think how many different personalities and backgrounds these disciples came from. They had to learn to love one another. Acts 2 records the birth of the church. Excuse me. What a leveling field it must have been to have no class distinctions or segregated groups in the family of God. Galatians 5:26 through 29 says, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Those distinguishing lines have been demolished because of Christ. And who did God choose? Let's look at this verse here. How about 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31? Look at this for family tree here, ladies. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." That's our family tree, ladies. That's, we come with no glory of our own. When we love the body of Christ, we love him. It's a joy to see the Lord working in diverse cultures and meet different people groups from other cultures than our own. I'm so encouraged as I read letters or hear from the missionaries of what's going on as they share how the gospel impacts with different locations across the globe. I love to know I have sisters in the Lord in Brazil and Africa and Philippines and Argentina because of our common bond, our common love for the Lord. In fact, yesterday I was texting with Grace Baruz, who was planned to join us here in our study, but she's in the Philippines right now currently. And she sent me a photo of a church that she was standing with the pastor and some ladies that they're working on getting a transmitter set up in the area so they can broadcast good, solid gospel teaching in the Philippines in a certain area here. And here's the exciting part. It's not just good gospel teaching, but soon they're going to be able to hear our very own pastors preaching over there in the Philippines, because she's got this set up there she's working on. That's our family, ladies, miles apart, but we share the same Heavenly Father. Our church is made up of many different personalities, many different ethnicities, many backgrounds. What a joy to love and serve our own family here at Grace Bible Church, as well as beyond these walls. And Jesus didn't just say love one another, but he said, just as I have loved you. He demonstrated in the upper room. a humble, sacrificial, and unconditional love to the lovely and the unlovely. Think about what he was doing. He was washing the feet of his disciples who weren't paying attention. They were too busy focusing on their conversation of who's going to be the greatest and which one of them would be where they would sit. In fact, Luke, I think it's Luke 18, has a parallel passage of that same exact conversation there. But here they are worrying so much about their place. But what was he doing? He was serving in humility, even washing the feet of the disciple who would soon betray him. He set the pattern of love for us to follow, sacrificial, unconditional, and humble love to those that were his own. Who is your brother or sister you need to love, ladies? Get to know more of your Christian family. Grace Bible is growing, as you know, it's expanding, and we've got a new facility here. Don't miss opportunities to love and serve the body. Look for ways to connect relationally with others. So number one, love is a command. It's not optional. Number two, love is relational. It's lived in a community, not in isolation. And the third theme here that we've been looking at is lastly, love is practical. It reacts, it responds in action. So love is practical. It responds in action. So how do we grow in love? How do we fulfill our responsibility? Well, first we need to start with ourselves. Let's go back and look at the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You, your, you, your." You get the message? Who's it start with? Us, me. First, we must saturate our mind with the word, ladies. We must know what it understand the word. What does it say? What are we supposed to do? We'll read John. Read the Gospels. Read 1 John. 1 John is so packed with so much of this theme of love and understanding the one another's. Meditate on Romans 12. We're going to be studying some verses in the upcoming weeks from Romans 12. But, you know, to make God's word a priority daily, that's where we saturate our mind. Pray is the second one. Pray for love to grow. As 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do." Think about that. We don't just want to pray for love, but we want to make it abounding and increasing. Pray for the Holy Spirit to apply His word to our hearts daily. Pray Romans 12:2, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is a good and acceptable and perfect. So saturate your mind with the word, pray for love to grow, and confess. Confess, ask the Holy Spirit, show us areas we fail to love and confess them daily. We all do that, ladies. We all need that confession daily. Let's do a little heart check. How are we responding to our family? Let's do a quick little review of lessons 1 through 6 here. And I won't give you each individual lesson or list here, but I'm just going to summarize this by, do we look for ways to honor our brothers and sisters? We've studied about that. Do we treat them more important than ourselves? Remember, we were supposed to memorize Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Are we kindly affectioned and give preference to them? How about, as we learned in lesson 2, do we prefer one another, anticipating them to take the initiative rather than waiting for someone else to do that? I like that when we studied the whole idea of preferring and taking that initiative. Do we admonish in love? Are we carrying the burdens of our sisters who need help getting up out of difficulty? We talked about carrying burdens, and what that means is helping someone get up, someone who's fallen. Maybe they've fallen into sin and they need some accountability. They need some encouragement. Are we careful to strive for unity in the body of Christ? When someone shares a burden or difficulty, are we eager to pass that along and gossip, or do we stop and comfort them? Do we pray for them or give them a hug? Do we look for unity, and we keep that unity within our church body? The new commandment applies to every Christian, ladies. Paul displayed Jesus' self-sacrificing love probably more than anyone in the New Testament. One writer said of Paul, love was the impulse of his whole life and ministry of Christ's apostles. Paul's heart and his life showed his love in the repeated devotion to following Christ, even when those whom he taught and led caused him much heartache. Think about the Corinthians church that he taught and the Corinthians believers. In order to help the Corinthian believers understand their own deficiencies, he taught them a more excellent way in 1 Corinthians 13. The church was being torn apart by their loveless behavior. And Paul gave that familiar description of 1 Corinthians 13 to sum up how to express love. If we are to love God and love our neighbor as the highest priority, then we should need to know how love expresses itself. He gave them 15 positive and negative descriptions that I'm sure you're very familiar with, but I'm just going to list them here. Love is patient, kind. Love is not envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, selfish, easily angered, resentful, joyful over wrongdoing. Love rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. These all beautifully portray the character and the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need to respond by loving others with practical actions. How about sending someone an encouraging note? How about helping a young mom babysitting, taking a meal, getting groceries for someone without being reimbursed, offering to help clean a house for someone who needs some encouragement, driving a friend to an appointment, making a phone call and just asking, how can I pray for you? There's ways we can all reach out and love relationally and do that practically. I'm so grateful here at Grace Bible Church that we see this kind of love in our body that responds. The slots for the meals get filled so quickly when you put out the emails and they come asking for a meal. By the time I get to those, half the time they're already taken, so that's wonderful. Even just the work days we had getting ready for this new building here, what a joy to see how many people came out for hours and hours and selflessly worked and just practically applied love to one another in that way. Think how quickly it was that we even got into this building because of that, because of such a teamwork of love. We won't love perfectly, and we won't be without pure motives here on this earth, but someday we will love perfectly when we are with Him, and we will love as He does. 1 John 3:3 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." Jesus fulfilled the commands to love one another. Jesus loved relationally, as shown through His disciples that He came to save. And He loved practically, as He healed the sick, the blind, and forgave sins. So shouldn't we respond to His love by loving one another in this way?